In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. John Leal, columnist and social commentator, professes to see signs that the libertarian, anything-goes attitude of American society is being called into question. The notion that constitutionally guaranteed liberty means that anyone can do whatever he wants to do is anarchy and a recipe for disaster, according to Leo. Society needs rules to live by which to live and needs to live by those rules. And he sees signs that our people are waking up to that fact. However, the rules and laws of society are not what the Apostle Paul has in mind when he says, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be on them and upon the Israel of God." We want to look at those words this morning. The occasion for Paul's letter to the Galatians is fairly familiar to most of us, I suspect. He addresses the insidious false doctrine of what we call Judaizers, who were wreaking havoc in the church. The Galatians had fallen into an error that comes so easily. They had embraced the gospel, but many soon fell away when some began troubling them by insisting that circumcision be reintroduced in the church. Circumcision had been abolished. God had attached his grace and forgiveness, the promise of forgiveness to circumcision from the time of Abraham when he himself had instituted it, but now it was abolished. For Christ, through his propitiatory death, is the end of the law to everyone who believes. The effect of the error was to appeal to human effort rather than to the merits of Christ as a ransom and substitute for sin under the law. That's how it is with us according to our flesh. You pay something and you get something. Lawyers call it quid pro quo. You play by the rules. This opinio legis, as we learn it in theology, is always with us. Paul even had to rebuke Peter on this score, an account that he narrates in the second chapter of this book. The heart readily imagines that its efforts please God and earn his favor. And if God's laws don't provide works enough for us, we're more than willing to come up with some of our own. The Apostle Paul dismisses this brand of playing by the rules. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, he writes. Luther says of these words in his great 1535 commentary, in exposition of Galatians, "It is amazing that Paul should say that in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. He should rather have said either circumcision or uncircumcision counts for something, since these two are contrary to each other." But now he denies that either one counts, as though he were saying, "We must go higher, for circumcision and uncircumcision are far too low to count for righteousness in the sight of God." They are, of course, contrary to each other. But that has nothing to do with Christian righteousness, which is not earthly but heavenly, and therefore does not consist in physical things. And so whether you believe or receive circumcision or do not receive it, it is all the same, Luther says, for neither counts for anything in Christ Jesus. precious words of Luther. What then is the rule of which the apostle speaks when he says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy shall be upon them, the Israel of God. The word walk, as it's used here, is not the usual Greek vocable for walk that you learned. It is something different and specialized. It's more than a group of people ambling down the road together in company with one another. It is rather a word that would be used in connection with the orderly, precise marching in rank and file of a cadre of soldiers. This is the walking of which he speaks. Related uses of the word refer to that same order in speaking of the courses of stones that are laid in an orderly way in a masonry wall, or the basic elements of the universe, or the basic building blocks of learning and education. That word and its related words are used in those contexts. And so the walking is according to a rule, a canon, a strict measure. And what is that rule? In the previous verse, St. Paul had said, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. A new creation totally different from anything earthly. Applied to our redemption and our salvation, it bespeaks order. Paul is not articulating a general principle, but is setting forth the bedrock doctrine of the gospel. Those whom God has called by the gospel have, so to speak, been cemented, as it were, into a heavenly order, and so have peace and mercy. It is something that comes from the outside, this building, this new creation. Create in me a clean heart, O God, we pray. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And so is the physical creation. Consists of elemental building blocks, so are the people of God incorporated by God into a new creation. The fathers captured it using the expression through the external means of the gospel, the means of grace, the gospel, and the sacraments. That is the rule of which the apostle speaks. Our hope, our salvation, that which God has accomplished for us in the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace and mercy upon those who believe and upon the Israel of God. Here in the gospel, there is the forgiveness of sins from God himself for the sake of the atoning blood of Christ. And this is what provides the jubilance of jubilate. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is not a summons to a pep rally, but the joy of the Lord is on account of this gospel, this great salvation that he has committed to us, that he has given to us for the sake of his grace. There was much in Galatia to provoke apostolic wrath. But apostolic wrath is not the purpose of the apostle's writing. Even though he indeed condemns in no uncertain terms the pernicious error that had risen and the foolishness of those who embrace it. But the beginning, the middle, and the end of his message is Christ. And so it is that he brings his great message to the Galatians and to us, to a close in the words of the opening verse of our reading today. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.